for coming out. It's no fun preaching to empty seats. So praise God. I'm thankful for everyone that's here. Like Bill Britton said one time, when he went somewhere, he must have drove a long distance or something, and there was about five people there that showed up. And he was a little disappointed, and the Lord said to him, if Queen Elizabeth called you over to England to minister to her and her husband, how would you feel about that? He said, well, I'd feel pretty important. He said, well, you got five kings are sitting in front of you right here in the auditorium. So real kings, not earthly kings. Okay, we know what's going to happen to all the stuff in the earth. All those kingdoms are coming down. They're going to belong to the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Who is Christ? As the body is many members, so is Christ. You are the many-membered. The feet, the toe, the nose, the ear, the arm, the leg. We're many members. And so is Christ. Some people have that revelation, some people don't. Some people still see Christ as the last name of Jesus. So every time you talk about Christ, they only think of Jesus and that's it. And that's okay. Because if they want to follow on to know the Lord, they'll understand that they truly are the body of Christ. Amen? So, as the body of Christ, what is it that Father would like to say to us this morning? As his glorious body. You know, we're really living in a glorious hour. There was some stuff I was going to read from Preston Eby, but I don't think I'm going to do that at this point. Because I don't think that all of our brothers and sisters see the new day. I don't think that many of our brothers and sisters understand that in God that there's different times and seasons where God moves in a different way, in a miraculous way, in a glorious way. And God is speaking in a very new and powerful way, and he's saying some really powerful stuff. And mostly, it's about the finished work of Jesus Christ, about the grace of Jesus Christ. And we've come into, and we're coming into an hour where there's going to be a great grace that's going to be poured out on God's people in this hour. He's going to turn up the light. He's going to take the 20 watt out and put a 60 or an 80 in there. And that little bit of my message touches on that this morning. I guess if the Father gets me around to it, Joey's prayer was definitely a prayer right out of heaven. It was the Father speaking through her. Because that's one of the things he's going to do. I had, you know, the Lord, when you're going to minister and you stay in his presence as much as you humanly possibly can in between working and et cetera, et cetera, he will start downloading in you. And I was getting so much stuff this week, and I asked the Lord, I said, you're going to have to bring this thing into something for me so I can have a little direction on how to go with this thing instead of just getting up there and rambling on. But one of the first things the Lord said to me is, he says, I want every one of my children to understand how much I love them. I don't think that we have a deep enough revelation of how much God loves us. I think we still have a lot of spooky thoughts. You know, like God is kind of a wrathful, you know. And he loves you, but if you step out of line, heaven help your butt. And I think that even a lot of born-again, spirit-filled Christians have this double-mindedness when it comes to the Heavenly Father. And one of the verses that I bring this morning is where the Father says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. The thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We talk about 2018. "I know the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future." Who holds our future? Does our company employer hold our future? Does the stock market hold our future? Does some guy in North Korea hold our future? Bless Donald Trump, but does he hold your future? Not really. And I said to the Lord, we're going into 2018. And what should we expect when we go into 2018? He said, "Well, one of the first things, son, I want you to start doing is stop thinking in terms of next year. I want you to start thinking the way I think. He's from above. Jesus says, you're from below, I'm from above." Jesus didn't think below thoughts. He always thought above, where his Father was. Of course, his Father was in him. The Father and I are one. So I don't even think that Jesus tried to predict tomorrow. It was like when he got up in the morning, he just went about doing good. And the Lord's been talking to me a little bit about wings specifically. And he's saying, in 2018, just tell him to go about doing good. I don't expect anything more or less of you. Just look to the Lord every morning that you get up. And you say, "Lord, I want to know you in a greater way today." And that's what the Bible said that Jesus did. It said everywhere he went, he just went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. And his light was life. His life is light. I think it's almost interchangeable. If you have Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he's in you. You have eternal life in you. You will never die. That's the illumination that Jesus gives you. When you decide to become a believer, doesn't make any difference what church you go to. Jesus doesn't care what church you go to. Like I once heard an evangelist say, "I don't care what the title is on your back, it's either going to blow off on the way up or burn off on the way down," which I don't particularly like that. I don't particularly like that slogan because I don't believe that business of burning off on the way down, okay? Because he came to lift us up, okay? And yeah, he's the one that's always bringing us up. But he says, "I know my thoughts towards you." And then in Corinthians, it says, love, Paul's describing God. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is. It's a description of God. And Paul says, love's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not provoked, it does not take account of the evil that's done unto it. Wow. That's the way he thinks. And then I looked at this one verse, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart." So the Lord's saying, "I know the thoughts that I have towards you." And he's also saying, "I don't take account of any of the wrong that's done to you or to me." You've all been reconciled. You've all been reconciled. Not just for the sins you did yesterday, because you know it says Jesus died for the sins of the world. Well, which ones did he die for then? Because he died before the foundation of the world, so he had to be dying for sins we were going to commit in the future. Think about that. Selah. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world, when the Father and Jesus sat down and talked in the Godhead, the Father didn't say, "Well, when Dennis gets saved on December whatever in 2017, his sins are forgiven up to that point, but after that, he's going to have to work it out." And the same way with me. March 20, 1976, when I got saved, that was it. I mean, when the Lord spoke to me, and literally the Lord spoke to me in a hotel room, and he said, "You've been forgiven." I was not on my knees asking Jesus to come into my heart. He came into my heart because he lights every man that comes into the world, John said in chapter 1. There was a light in me. I call it a conscience. Well, my conscience is bothering me on this deal, but my conscience is bothering me when I think this kind of stuff. But I had no power over those thoughts. The Apostle Paul even said, the very thing I know that I should do, I have this conflict working in me. I know what to do is right, but daggone it if I don't mess it up almost every time. But he does say, who can deliver me from this body of death? This flesh, it always wants everything. It's got appetites for everything in the world. It wants to do all kind of crazy stuff. Even now that I've been saved 40 years, I'm still plagued. There's still the battle of Armageddon going on up here. Good and evil, it just keeps going on. Now I'm gaining ground on it because I'm coming into the knowledge of who he is. Let me tell you something. I don't think we change by having God show you the evilness of your ways. I really don't think we do. I think we change when we see him. Because when you see him face to face, Paul said, you will be transformed. He didn't say, well, when you see all the evil deeds you're doing, you'll be transformed. No. Because every time I see evil deeds, or every time a pastor comes up and starts talking to me about a dirty, rotten sinner I am for drinking a glass of wine or smoking a cigarette or whatever, I just go deeper into condemnation. The Lord just wants us to look at him. The reason why he wants us to look at him is because we are him. We are one with him. We are in union with him. What this sermon is all about this morning is the Father wants us to enter into his rest. And I wrote down here, in order for us to complete our destiny and to come into a oneness with the Lord. Let's see, what did I write? I just wrote, Father wants us to enter into his rest in order to enter into our complete destiny. We must, and he will bring us into oneness with him. I'm going to read that again. This is what the Lord spoke to me. I want you to enter into your rest. In order for you to enter into your completeness in me, your perfection in me, you've got to enter into my rest. Because you can't do it through your own efforts. We could never do it through our own efforts. I mean, even today we still try because of all the religion that we've been fed all our life. Religion's always telling us about, they're giving us to-do list. You know, if you don't come to church on Sunday, I mean, for Marge and I, it was a mortal sin. I think it's a venial now, Dennis. I don't know what it is now. But I mean, I was on my way to hell, you know, when I miss it. But then I think they relaxed that. I can eat meat. I can eat meat now. But I mean, that's man's religion. That's, you know, and they're all the same. I'm not just picking on the Catholics. I can stand up here and pick on the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Apostolics. I can pick on all of them. But that isn't going to bring any life to anybody. But I'm just wanting you to see the contrast and the difference of what man has taught us all our life. And that's what Jesus is doing in this hour. He's reversing all that by showing us what he accomplished on Calvary for us. He wants to bring us into a rest. He wants us to take on his yoke. It's light. His burden is easy. 2018, actually 20 means the end of waiting. You know, God's got this numerical thing that you can look at numbers on the computer, and God does, somehow or other, he does use numbers to coincide and to convey truths and things of that nature. And if you look up the number 20, it means, like Jacob, it was 20 years and he finally got his herd back and his wife and all that stuff. But 20 means you're coming to the end of your waiting period, all, a lot of those things that you hope for. And then 18 means the end of spiritual and physical bondage. Wow. Wow. So you put that together, and all those things that we've been waiting for and hoping for, a lot of that stuff is going to come to fruition. It's going to come to reality. And a lot of us are going to be delivered from a lot of spiritual, funny ways of thinking about God, and physical bondage. I'm believing that we're going to start seeing some beautiful miracles in the Lord. I really do. I really do believe that we're going to start seeing the power or the glory of God. And then expectation. I love the verse where David says, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for all my expectations are from Him." This is where a lot of our mental problems, our depression, our disagreements, our arguments. We put expectation in people's lives. I expect something of my wife. She expects something of me. And when she doesn't give me the expectation, then I get mad. I expect something from my employer. I expect that next year is going to be a better year financially than the year that I just came through. But guess what? It may not be. And then what happened to that expectation? I get depressed. Gee, I thought this was going to be a great year. The Lord says, you know, when you look up the word expectation, it means hope, the thing that I long for. Well, that one got me thinking. What is the thing that I long for? Is your great passion to know Jesus Christ? What are your passions? Maybe that's one thing that we might want to examine this New Year's, okay? What is the thing that I really long for? And it also means to bind together and to look patiently and wait. That's interesting. That's the Strong's definition there, Oscar. The thing that I long for, and to bind together, to look patiently and wait. But if I'm looking to the Lord and I'm waiting on the Lord, praise God, all His thoughts of me are of peace, with a future and a good expectation. So when I'm looking to Him every morning when I get up, I just want to walk in Him. I want Him living His life as me. As me. I want Him living as me. And I want to be living as Him. Because the two of us are one. And that's what the Lord wants me to hit on here this morning as we keep rolling. Number one, I got five things I got to get through real quick. But number one, I thought to myself, number one is the smallest number in the earth that I know of. But it's like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, but it's the largest one in celestial realms. It's the largest one. The number one, it says, is only divisible by itself. Now, there's got to be some spiritual truth in there. I didn't spend much time meditating on that. But the number one is only divisible by itself. That's interesting. It is independent of all other numbers, yet it encompasses them all. I mean, that's kind of a brain twister. It's hard to kind of get your mind around that. It symbolizes in the Bible the unity and the preeminence and the most important, the dominion and the oneness of the Godhead. God is one. Small number, but you ain't going to get much bigger than that number one. Jesus said, "Father, I pray that they be one as you and I are one." Praise God. Try and get your mind around that. That we become one with the Father as Jesus is one with the Father. And as I was meditating on that, I thought to myself, this is Jesus praying. This isn't the Apostle Paul. This is Jesus talking to the Father, and He says, "I pray, Father, that you bring them into this awareness of their oneness that they have with you and I in the Godhead. Now, he only said what he heard the Father say. Amen? So when he prayed that prayer, it was the Father praying right through him. Son, I want you to intercede. I want you to pray for them that they become one just like you and I are one. The Lord gave me a poem a while back, and it said, a sign to the nations we must become in order to demonstrate that we are one. One with the Father, one in the Son, one through the Holy Spirit to prove the sum, S-U-M. For you must see, without you and without me, there can be no complete sum of the total of three. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit says, without you and without me, I'm not complete, and you aren't either. You must see, without you and without me, there can be no complete sum of the total of three. For indeed, this appears difficult to see, but it's just part of the great mystery, the mystery of the Godhead, and the family to be will soon be made manifest through the Father above to show the whole creation of his redeeming love. So continue to focus on the Father in me, and you will understand just how this can be. All the Lord wants us to do is just call on his name and to focus on him. And by revelation, in the knower, God's going to start speaking to us down here, and he's going to start changing a lot of our funny ways of thinking. He's going to start bringing us up into the above realm. And when you get up into the above realm, you escape all that stuff that's beneath here. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have some pain, some suffering, some tribulation. We know that, because as long as we're in the world, okay. But if you're not of the world, it's just kind of like, I don't know. The Apostle Paul said all these things I'm suffering. What the hell did the verse go there, Oscar? The sufferings of this present age are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. Okay, so number one, as the body has many members, so is the Christ. Jesus is praying for us that we know that we are one with him. The number two, moving right along. I talked to Therrell Dean this week, and I told him I was preaching. He said, you going to preach long? I said, well, if I do, you can start doing this with your watch. So as soon as I stepped up here, he started going like this. I was about ready to tell the usher, just escort him out to the car or something. But I'll cut it down. I'll cut it down. Okay, number two. Number two conveys the meaning of union. And when they said that, I thought of a man and a woman. Though two in number, they are made one in marriage. And we're the bride of Christ. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, 2 Corinthians 11:11 says. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. From the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. Why does his walk seem to get so complicated all the time? It isn't God complicating it. It's very simple. Come as a child. It's finished. The seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet in the book of Revelations. The last trumpet. Seven means complete perfection. It said he was blowing a message. And the message was, it is done. It is finished. Brothers and sisters, you are hearing the seventh trumpet blowing in this hour. I really believe that. Because the past few years, I'm hearing more brothers and sisters in the ministry preaching the finished work of the cross. And I thought to myself, oh my God, in Revelations, it said that the seventh trumpet, when it blows, which is a message, the trumpet blows a message. The message is, it is finished. And that's what we're hearing right now. We're hearing this message on it is finished. So that's telling me that I hear the trumpet. Do you hear the trumpet? Do you hear the trumpet? I want you to hear the trumpet. If you have any questions on things of this nature, give one of the elders or Brother Oscar or myself a call. We'd be more than happy to come over to your house and sit down and talk with you and explain some of these things to you. It took me years to come out of religion to come into this realm of the Spirit. But these brothers here, they can explain this new day that we're moving into. If you have any questions, let us know. Because I want to say one thing to you. You're not going to get everything you need one hour on Sunday morning. Do you hear me? You're not going to get everything you need, your manna for that day, just on Sunday morning for one hour. It's not going to happen. You're not going to change. You've got to behold him. You've got to be seeking him. You've got to be asking him. He says, ask. For everyone who asks receives. Isn't that a fantastic promise? That come right from the lips of a man that walks in nothing but grace and truth. He said, if you'll ask me, you'll receive. Our problem is, a lot of our problem in the church today is we come in on Sunday morning for 1 hour, and the rest of the week we basically live our normal life, and that's okay as long as you're focused on him while you're living your normal life. That's okay. Because as you're focused on him, you're going to find out that you're going to have a lot more patience that you've never had before. You're going to find out that you start changing the atmosphere in a room. You really will. The atmosphere will start changing. The prince and power of this world, the enemy, the dark powers that are in charge of this world, God wants us to walk into a room with our light and with our life and with our love that he's already given us. And we can change the atmosphere. We can change it. You don't believe me? Come into church some Sunday morning when the musicians are praying, everybody's got their hands raised in the air, and then go out of here to a bar tonight and look at the difference in the atmosphere. Amen? Look at the difference in the atmosphere. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not condemning you if you go to a bar. Jesus is in the bar too. Don't worry about it. Though I make my bed in a bar, thou art there. I had a very dear friend, Jimmy Mills. I shared this on the radio show with Oscar and Clyde this Wednesday. Jimmy Mills, he wasn't looking for God, but he had a very Pentecostal, strong, strong religious mother. And she was always in his face. And so when Jimmy was about 40 years old, he was in a bar, he was about half drunk. He walks back to the restroom, he's going to the toilet, and he says, something to the effect, you know, if you're really real, and boy, that's all that come out of his mouth, and the power of God hit him right in that restroom. He turned out to be one of the greatest evangelists. He's still alive today up in Dayton. We're great buddies, the two of us. But now, in order to get saved, that means you have to go to a bar and go into the restroom. Now, see, I got saved in a hotel room. I wasn't asking the Lord to come in my life. I don't say that with an exalted attitude, but I was not asking Jesus to come into my heart. And all of a sudden, something like the sound of a mighty rushing wind came through that room. Now, in order for you to get saved, you've got to go to the Holiday Inn in Dayton. You see what I'm saying? You talk to 100 different people, they got 100 different testimonies. And you know why they're all different? Because they were all saved by grace. They had nothing to do with it. It was a gift of God. He imparted that faith into their spirit. And all of a sudden, that 20-watt light bulb went to 100 watts. Because the light's on in every man. John 1:9, somewhere in there. For he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The light's there. All they need to do is resonate with your light. We were talking about that this morning back in Sunday school. How sometimes you can be standing in line at Kroger's or whatever, and all of a sudden somebody just strike up a conversation with you. Start telling you the whole personal life. Because the light in them, that 20 watt, got around your 100 watt. And was starting to see face to face instead of this face to face. Something here was saying, he's got something you need to have. Talk to that man. God's turning up the light. And that's what he's saying to Wings. I'm not at point number three. I'm going to skip to point number four. Three means complete. You are complete in him. Colossians 2 says this, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. Wow. We are complete in him, for we all have received of his fullness. Complete, having all the necessary appropriate parts, to the greatest extent or degree, total. Finished making or doing, making something the whole or perfect. And Paul in Colossians 2:10, he says, you are complete in him. I don't feel complete. You're going to believe your feelings, or you're going to be a believer? Amen? Or are you going to be a pre-believer?
I think I might believe that someday.
You're complete in him. One, we're one in him. Jesus prayed that we would be one. Is Jesus not going to get his prayer answered? Do you know of any prayer that Jesus would pray that wasn't answered by the Father? Father, I pray that they be one as you and I are one. Guess what? You're one. Whether you know it or not, whether you're walking in that awareness or not, you're still one. And if you want to walk in that awareness, you can. You can. Four talks about the four corners of the earth. I think on the fourth day, the Lord finished creation, making the earth. And the Lord was saying, I have given you my light that you might see. I have given you my life that you might be. And I have given you my love that you can manifest me. But number four is the four corners of the earth. And he said, he wants wings to start thinking in terms of being a supplier instead of a receiver. It's time to just stop coming to church every day and looking maybe for a deeper revelation or more understanding of the Lord, and all that stuff is good, okay? But he wants us to be a supplier now. He wants us to go into the four corners. Everywhere we're at, he wants us to go in the four corners and let the light shine. Amen? Let the light shine. Wings has been in a cocoon for a lot of years. I think about the worm and the butterfly. The worm just hangs around the earth eating dry leaves all the time. Then one day, something in his DNA said, come up here. And so he climbs up a tree. When he's really a ground pounder, he eats all that junk in the earth right down, all that carnal stuff. Then one day in his DNA, he just feels this desire and this yearning to climb up this tree. He gets all in that cocoon, like we do. We come to the end of ourself. We've tried it our way. And we get ourselves all wrapped up like the kitten with the ball of yarn that we talked about here. The more the kitten played with the ball of yarn, the more entangled he got to the place where he was in his own cocoon. He couldn't even get out. And the science, I read a little article sometime back where the science was talking about the worm and the butterfly. And he said they still cannot figure out there's a gland in the worm. And when it's in that cocoon, all of a sudden, that gland pops open. And they said a fluid that's many colors starts running into that worm and starts transforming him into a completely new creation. And when I thought of that gland, I thought, well, I know something that starts with G2. It's called grace. Because we were all in that dark place with that cocoon wrapped all around us. And God's grace, that Christ gland inside of every one of us, broke. And that life started flowing through us and making us into a new creation. So, the apostles thought that the kid only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, with so many, it's impossible to feed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know the story. But the Lord looked up into heaven, blessed the bread, and he became a supplier to all the needs of the people. Now, point number five, interestingly enough, is what takes care of, one, for you coming into oneness with God, two, coming into union with God, three, coming into completeness with God, four, making you a light to the world to go forth into the four corners of the world. And I'm not talking about a normal evangelistic outreach. I'm not talking about all of us get together next year and get these plans together and everybody dig deep in their pockets and throw money into the pot and let's go on TV and whatever. No. What God is doing in this hour is he's raising up in a people, individual people. He's not raising up necessarily apostles and prophets. He's still using them. But he's raising up individuals and empowering them with his light, with his life, with his love. And everywhere they go, they're going to light up the place. That's what he's aiming at. He's gathering into himself right now. The Day of Atonement, he's gathering into himself people all around the world that are starting to see the new day. They're starting to see the finished work. They're starting to see the great love that God has for them and that he's not a God of wrath. He's not a God that you should be afraid of. You want to know God? Look at Jesus Christ. That's why I always tell people, when I sit down and talk with brothers and sisters in my office every day, and they start talking to me about God, and I can hear that fear in their voice. I can hear that mixture. I can hear that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, God's good, but. See, when you say but, that's really what you think. Oh, I know God is gracious. I know his grace is sufficient, but. And as soon as they say but, you know they don't know the grace of God. They don't know the love of God. And God wants us to come into that grace, into that relationship. That's the only way you're going to come into it, is by seeing him, by knowing him. So, to come into the oneness, to come into the union, to come into the completion, number four, to be the light of the world, it takes number five. And the number five, the definition is grace. It's grace. Five symbolizes God's grace, his goodness, and his favor. And when you multiply five times five, that's grace upon grace. Jesus came in grace and truth. And if any man stands in a pulpit or anybody comes to you in the supermarket or at work or whatever, and if they don't come in grace and truth, pray for them. If they're bringing condemnation, if they're bringing you this God that you better get out and work your butt off for every day, otherwise you ain't going to be accepted. Just go on down the pike. Love them. Let them go on down the pike. Because when you start coming into this oneness with Jesus, guess what? You want to work for him. You want to tell the world about this love and about this grace. I want to. I want to minister now. There was a time when I didn't want to minister at all, because I was still walking in the letter of the law. But now that I'm walking in this grace, it's like I just wait on the teacher. Like Oscar told me some time back, he said, well, you just need to wait on the teacher. I thought, gee, I wonder if that really works. But it's scriptural. So I just started waiting in his presence. Some years ago, I started praying Paul Mueller's prayer, the guy that had the orphan home over in England, great man of faith. He said the only prayer he ever prayed was, God, I want to know you. He didn't pray for the orphans to get food, because he said, every time I prayed, God, I want to know you, every morning a bakery truck or a truck from some supermarket would pull up and just unload a bunch of food products. He didn't spend all night saying, oh, God, I don't know how these poor kids are going to eat tomorrow. He knew the source. God wants us going into 2018 knowing the source. Don't you know, Paul says, all things are yours. We just want to go every day now and say, Lord, I want to know you in a greater way. Like Moses, he knew the ways of God, and he was God's friend. So, through his grace and his love, we will accomplish that. It isn't difficult. It might sound difficult. It just depends on who you hear to preach it. Some people preach coming into oneness is, oh boy, or coming into completeness in Jesus, oh, you may have to go through cancer. I don't know. I don't know. I just looked at Jesus. Everywhere he went about doing good. He went about healing all manner of sickness and disease. Isaiah prophesied, by his stripes you're healed. He bore all your sins and sicknesses to the tree, and by his stripes you're healed. And then we come up and say, yeah, but God will give you cancer because. But the prophet said he came to heal cancer. But we say, yeah, but, you know, stuff happens and God, you know. Let's start believing for healing. Let's start believing for grace. Let's start believing in the love of God. I mean, my God, I've got two children. All I have to do is look at my children. All I want to do is good for them. None of my thoughts are evil toward them. But yet, we'll walk out of this building and we'll wonder where we're at with God. Because I smoked a cigarette yesterday, or I cursed, took his name in vain. He said, you're in the same place with me you were 2,000 years ago on Calvary's tree where I buried you, your old life. It's gone. I don't even see you anymore. I see the work. I see that gland with that fluid of many colors going through you right now, making you into a new creation, making you into that butterfly that's going to come out of that darkness and fly up into heavenly places. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the night is far spent and the day has come. The day will break and is breaking, and the earth will quake. The day has come to see the sons. The day has come to unite as one. One with the Father, one in the Son, one through the Holy Spirit to bring forth the one. I've heard the travail of my people, says the Lord. I've heard the travail of my people in chains, and I am now coming forth to change their name. I'm going to change their nature. I'm going to give them a name of honor with truth and grace, a name of honor to remove all their disgrace, a people with my glory to display to my creation, a people of glory to take to the nations, a people with authority to get the job done, a people with authority to make the nations one. For surely this is the day of the revealing of my sons to bring all creation back into the splendor of my Son. Father, we thank you for this word, Lord. Father, I pray that we will protect our hearts, Father, that we'll protect our garden, that we'll protect the seeds that have been sown in our garden. Through this marvelous ministry here, through this marvelous man of God, Brother Oscar, what a wonderful teacher, and all the tremendous seeds that he's planted in our garden, Lord. And Father, we've got to protect that, because the enemy will come. The sower sows the word, and the enemy, whatever he is, whoever he is, our mind, the spirit of the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it will come to take the seed away. So Father, I pray that in the days ahead that you will renew all of our desires to want to seek your face, to make you our great passion for 2018, to give you priority, to make you one and become one with you in everything we do, Father. Because Lord, you said, it was a promise, don't take any thought about where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. But seek ye first the kingdom of God inside of you. And all these things, all these expectations, they'll be taken care of by me. Because you are the source of all things. You are our Father, and we are your children. And Father, we know how we feel toward our children. We want the best for them. We don't want to curse them. We don't want them walking in sickness and disease. We want the best for them. And you said this whole sermon started out with, I know the thoughts I have toward you. I know the thoughts I have toward you. Good thoughts, loving thoughts, to give you a bright future. So, Father, we'll just end it with this. We knew that 2018, 19, and on and on and on is going to be a bright future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.